Welcome to Season 7, Episode 5 of the Fireman Trainers Podcast, published on April 2nd, 2024. It's amazing how fast this year is going. We're just recording the January 1st episode. Now we're already into April. We're part of the ConcealedCarry.com network of podcasts. I also want you to encourage to check out the Guardian Conference coming up in September 20th through the 22nd in Oklahoma City. Register now and save. This episode, we'll be talking with Daryl Phillips about how he uses a scenario simulator in his classes. If you like our podcast, give us a 5-star review, share with your friends. This will help us reach more people with our content. Buckle up for another interesting episode that will help you as a trainer and instructor. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at the FTA, the Firearms Trainers Association. Visit their website at ftaprotect.com to learn more about their instructor coverage they offer and their competitive pricing. If you're a certified instructor, you can apply for FTA coverage. And remember, listeners to the podcast get 10% off by entering promo code FTP10 at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Manus X. I've been a longtime Manus user from their original Manus X to the new Manus X10 that came out with a couple of years ago. And now excited about their most recent product, Manus Blackbeard X. The Manus Blackbeard X combines the Manus 10 and the Manus Blackbeard system into one platform for the AR-15. It unleashes a completely new capability with in-depth dynamic shooting analysis, including motion-based analysis and multi-target engagement, something no one has done before. Manus Blackbeard X connects to your smartphone via Bluetooth and can easily download the Manus X application for Android and iOS. Manus X application gives you history on all your previous sessions, as well as new drills for the modern sporting rifle. Manus X changed the way I train, and I think you'll find the Manus Blackbeard X is a great training aid for yourself and your students. Check out Manus X for more information on their Manus products, including the new Manus Blackbeard systems. That is ManusX.com. We bring this podcast to support the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Today, we're joined by Daryl Phillips from Perfect Practice Tactical. Welcome, Daryl.
Hey, Rob.
Appreciate you coming on the podcast and wanting to discuss our topic today with us. Can you give our listeners a little bit of your background on what you do in the 2A training world?
Sure. I'm a firearms trainer, as you know. That's why I'm here on your podcast, because this is the genre for it. I do all kinds of different training. I go from every level, from never held a gun before to advanced tactical, team tactical movement. I do pistols, carbines, ARs. I love my AR courses. And it's pretty much every level. And there's a whole bunch of things where it's broken down. And one of the reasons that I came on with you was to talk about force-on-force alternatives, right? Because force-on-force is like a huge thing now. You're starting to see the videos popping up all over YouTube, all over Facebook, the Reels, TikTok, everything like that, where you're actually getting physical actors and dummy guns, and you're having people run through these houses where they're actually getting a physical person, a physical threat jumping up, and they have to adapt and react very quickly. And that's a goal for me down the line. But of course, it's baby steps and we all have to grow. And where I'm at right now, I don't have the facilities to do that. So I've started utilizing a 10-foot screen and a projector and the smokeless range with laser ammo and the Scenario Trainer 2.0. And I got to tell you, it is a huge favorite amongst my students. I have different laser ammo guns. I actually have recoil guns, right? So they're just lasers, and I'm showing you because you can see them, but these are based on the Beretta 9mm, right? So ergonomically, it's exactly like the Beretta 9mm with the switches and the mag drops and all that other stuff. But when you fire it, it's actually green gas powered and it recoils. So you get a little bit of actual physical feedback when you fire the weapon, which is nice. And then it throws a laser down onto the screen, which is a 10-foot screen. And there's a camera that actually reads where the laser is hitting. And it's pretty damn amazing, to be honest with you. It's a great program. There's over 100 scenarios. Once you split them out, you can split them off, and I can control what the actors are going to do. So I can make the actors comply with your commands if you actually have a situation where you're giving commands, or I can have them tell you to go F yourself and they draw down on you and you have to adapt to that as well. So the great thing is you know, we all do the legal use of force classes, right? I'm a USCCA instructor. You're very familiar with USCCA as well.
Yes.
Legal use of force is great, you know, but the one thing that they say in the legal use of force class is when you have 3 to 5 seconds to make these decisions, the prosecuting attorney is going to have hours, days, weeks, and months to tear these decisions apart and find out if you did the right thing, right? So we actually do the same thing in the legal use of force class. We tear things apart for hours ahead of time, and we get the students to try to actually contemplate what would happen if this happened. What would I do if I'm sitting at this diner and somebody walked in and presented a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
So we get the students to try to think ahead of things and contemplate what can actually go wrong in their life. And that's great because you're exercising and you're thinking what could happen, right? Because the one thing that I tell my students all the time is there are so many people out there who die with their last thought being, this can't be happening to me, because they never considered it being possible. So they never
normalcy bias.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they never trained for it, right? So we can sit and think about it all day long and slow it down just like a prosecutor could, but without actually having some sort of a force-on-force scenario in real time and real speed, where you barely have time to issue commands, or you may not be able to issue commands before you have to actually draw your weapon and save your life. And that's what the scenario trainer is all about. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing tool to use with my students. And one of the most common things I get from all of my students is, I got to take a break, man. My heart is pounding out of my chest, you know, and that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. I think one thing to realize in the whole situation, we're talking about self-defense. You've got, you know, a couple seconds to make a decision. You can only go by the information that you know at that time, you know, mm-hmm. based upon, you know, is it dark? Is it sunny out? You know, are they close to you? Are they far away? But when you get down to it, the prosecutor, those days, weeks, months, and maybe even years, they've got hindsight that's 20/20. They know exactly what was going on. They know exactly everything. They can play out all those different scenarios. The one scenario they can't do, or that they're not forced to go through, is go along and getting the limited information the individual has and making a decision, a split second decision that they have to live by for the rest of their life. And those are things to where, you know, as I go along reinforcing all my students, we carry a gun not to go along and to, you know, make the world a better place and do, you know, justice. That's the justice system, law enforcement. We carry a gun in order to go along and make sure that our family, we're there for tomorrow. And, you know, if we carry it along those lines, then if we end up running away, we realize it's a win, you know, because it's not an ego situation. It's a situation to where we run away and we're there for our family, because if we stand and fight, and Andrew Branca had been on the podcast before and he said this, you have a greater than 0% chance of death or in severe bodily harm, just because if that's your defense, then that's what you're defending against, which means that if you have a good day, you walk away. If you have a bad day, your family might be going to the hospital. They might be going to the morgue to identify you. And neither one of those situations I would call would be a, you know, win from that perspective. I mean, you might survive, but you definitely, you know, did not come out of it unharmed.
Right. 100%. Yeah. The whole goal I tell my students all the time is to end the day with the same amount of holes you started it with, you know, and that's the reality of it. You try to disengage if you can. You know, de-escalation and conflict avoidance are huge points that I stress all the time, even though I'm in a castle doctrine state and a stand your ground state. You know, I still tell my students, even though the prosecutor may not be upset about you standing your ground, if you can safely retreat in a reasonable way, you're silly not to, because you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. Here's a story that I'm sure most listeners are very familiar with. 2 years ago, Greenwood Mall outside of Indianapolis, there was a shooter came out of a restrooms and started shooting. Elijah Dickinson, 43 yards away, went along and started shooting at him and planted 8 out of 10 shots on the person. Which is great. But most people don't know, because I followed the case very closely, it took approximately 10 months for the prosecutor to go along and say, I'm not going to file charges. So for 10 months, he woke up every morning wondering if his lawyer was going to call him and say, meet me down, you know, at the station, because they're going to go along and book you on or charge you with, you know, these crimes. Because it's like, you know, people look at me like, that's crazy. He saved all those people. It's like, legally speaking, you take 10 shots. They're going to go along and look at those 10 shots. And every one of them, they're going to ask the question, was it justified? And if the answer is yes, you're clear. If the answer is no, then you're going to have, you know, some explanation going on. And maybe there's a good explanation for it, maybe not. Even if one of those shots hit your intended target, but went through and injured somebody else, that's, you know, another one of those things that you've got to consider. And that's where, if you can get out of a deadly situation, that might be the best thing for you and your family for it. I mean, yes, we all want to be John Wayne. We all want to be, you know, the savior of the day. But we also want to be there for our family tomorrow. And that's the one thing I always go along and tell people, you know, really consider what you want to put your family through, because if you end up in that situation, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse would be a very good situation there, to where he did something, probably not the smartest thing going up Kenosha, but wasn't illegal. But at the same time, did him and his family have to go along and move and go places because of people threatening him and everything? And that was for, you know, what was ultimately determined to be a legal act. I mean, think about that. That's really tough to try to explain to your siblings, to your mom and dad, your, you know, cousin, something else like that. Hey, I wouldn't go home because there are people out there looking for anybody in my family to, you know, harm. And that doesn't make sense to normal people, but there are people that go and just target people because they want to inflict harm on them. And that's the sad reality of the world these days.
Well, that goes into the mental health stuff that we were kind of discussing a little bit offline. I guess we're going to get into that later on too. But, you know, that's a great reference, that mall shooting. And I've always wondered, what the hell was the guy shooting that he was engaging at 43 yards and scoring hits in an adrenaline situation? Because I wouldn't engage that far out. Like, that's amazing shooting.
If I recall right, it was a Glock 43, if I remember right.
Okay.
So, I mean,
amazing point score.
Yeah. You know? Now, the thing I can't recall off the top of my head, he started shooting at 43 yards and then got closer with each shot. But I don't know where all the shots were, which ones he missed, which ones he made, those types of things. But still, to go along and have the fortitude at 43 yards and say, I'm going to engage them and do whatever I have to do and take whatever comes my way.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I would love to see the metrics on that shoot. Yeah. But
here's one thing about that shoot too, that not many people or not much publicity has been about. Elijah Dickinson's girlfriend, who he was there with the mall, was a nursing student. Do you know that she was the person who started giving first aid to the people that were shot?
Wow.
And the one thing about that is that here's something for people to consider. That's why having people that are trained in trauma first aid and how to stop the bleed, how to go along these tourniquets, all those kind of things is really important, because talk to any of the law enforcement people. Whenever there's a mass shooting like that, the first priority is to stop the shooting. 100%. Doesn't matter how many people are laying around and what condition they're in. Number one priority is to stop the shooting. So if you've got somebody there inside already who can go along and apply tourniquets, who can go along and stop the bleeding, can pull them to cover, whatever the situation can be, it can be a big, big game changer as far as survival rates. So enough about Greenwood Mall.
Yeah, 100% though. You're spot on with that. You know, referencing older shootings, going back into the legal use of force stuff that we were talking about before, the reality is you can have a right to shoot and it could still cost you millions of dollars, because there's legal and then there's civil, right? So you can be found not guilty on a legal charge, on a criminal charge, but you can still get your butt sued off for millions of dollars. And if anybody doesn't understand that, it's called O.J. Simpson. Right. Mm-hmm. He got found not guilty of murdering two people. And we all know OJ did it. But even though he was found not guilty, he was still sued civilly for millions of dollars. And he lost. So you can have a righteous shoot. And I stress this with my students, too. If you don't have insurance and you carry or you own a firearm for defense, you're setting yourself up for failure if you ever have to use your weapon, because even in a righteous shoot, it could cost you $100,000, even if you're righteous. It's still going to cost you a lot of money. So,
Lawyers don't work for free.
No, they do not.
Unfortunately.
And, and one of the, you know, going back to the previous shootings, one of the ones that I get into with my legal use of force class, at the end of my legal use of force class, Do you remember the shooting that happened about a year ago in Texas in that little fast food joint where the guy was robbing it with pellet gun?
Oh, yeah.
Or
the taco restaurant. Yep.
Yeah. So this guy lit him up. He laid 9 shots into this guy, and it was 3 shootings. It was a volley of 4 was the first 4. And then the second 4 was shots 5 through 8. After the guy was already down, he put 5 through 8 into him. And then as he walked over and picked the guy's weapon up that had slid under a table, he popped him again with shot number 9. So it was 3 different shootings. And again, like you were saying earlier with this other guy in the mall, it's only been about three weeks now that they actually decided, nope, they're not charging him. They don't have enough to charge him. The grand jury said, nope, you're going to walk, which blows my mind, because if you watch that video, I have the unedited, uncensored video. Like, you watch it from beginning to end, and you know, you see this guy lose his life clearly. And there are so many things in that video that are clearly in breach of the use of force continuum. Once the threat ends, your right to violence ends. You know, I stress that with my students. And, you know, the threat ended on shot number 4 when this guy fell and lost his weapon. And then, you know, this other guy still laid 5 more shots into him, which was insane. Mm-hmm. So even in Texas, I'm surprised that he wasn't charged, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing I go along and always warn people. Yeah, if you ever look at another shooting, you use that as a reference point to say, well, you know, he shot him, you know, 8 times, 10 times. Keep in mind that it all depends upon where you're at and who's on the grand jury. You know, all those different kinds of things play into it, because things that might have gotten by 10 years ago or 20 years ago don't get by today. And and those are one of those things to where, you know, I'm in Ohio. And the one thing I point out to people is the laws are the same in Cincinnati as they are in Cleveland, but things, some things that don't, that fly in Cincinnati don't fly in Cleveland. And those are the things to realize, that even if you're in the same state, that, you know, they can have a big impact. We're surrounded by 4 counties here in Cincinnati. Something that goes on in one county may not be acceptable in the next county to that prosecutor. And that's because they're different people and they're allowed to make their own calls on what they think, you know, should be prosecuted and what shouldn't be prosecuted.
Yep. 100%. I tell my students all the time, the only reason that guy ended up walking, and it still took a year, the only reason that guy ended up walking is because it was rootin' tootin' Texas. And I say that straight up. I mean, if that was here in Pennsylvania, that guy'd be going to jail for the rest of his life. I have no doubt in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
PA is a pretty two-way state. We're stand your ground, we're Castle Doctrine, but we're still a swing state when it comes to, you know, political stuff. So that involves two-way when it comes to the swing state stuff. So definitely, I tell my students, you know, once the threat ends, your right to violence ends, period. There is no questioning that.
So back on our scenario simulator, Daryl, what are some of the things of how do you use it? You talked about, you've got your students and you talk about use of force, during your class. How do you integrate the different scenarios into reinforcing what you talk about in class?
So, it's kind of an interesting way of how I do it, because when I'm going through my legal use of force, I actually have it bundled into a legal use of force before, during, and after. So I throw in our color codes of awareness as well. So that plays into when I know the scenario that I'm picking for my students, I tell the students, you're in your home and you hear something wrong. And that tells them that, okay, I might be actually having my gun in my hand, or I might have my hand on my holster. You know what I mean? Walking through my house. And before anybody goes, oh, you walk through your house with your holster, I carry in my house all day long, all the time. It's what I do, because carrying is not just a right, it's a way of life. So I tell my students, you know, if you're carrying in your home, this is where you would want to be. Like, you know, the situation is something is wrong in your home. That's all I'm telling you. So at that point, they have to figure out how they're going to be prepared. So some of our scenarios are, it's dark and they hear glass breaking, and now all of a sudden they're looking down a hallway and hearing footsteps. If it's a situation where it's like a road rage accident or something like that, I tell them, you're in yellow. Prepare for whatever can happen. So, you know, living in yellow is where we're all supposed to be, in that color code yellow, where we're actually paying attention to our surroundings and we're aware of our surroundings, but we're not paranoid or jumpy or anything like that. So that's generally what I tell my students. I set them up with the condition that they want to be in, right? So if they're somewhere out in public, it's generally you're just condition yellow. You're out in public and you're just moving along. They should know they should be in yellow, so they shouldn't be walking with their hand on their weapon. And then I let them pick from there.
Mm-hmm. I know, me personally, I don't have a scenario simulator like you do, mm-hmm. but if you had some recommendations for the instructors out there who are looking to get something, besides smokeless rain, do you have any other recommendations of how to get set up for, you know, with the right tools and everything else like that?
Honestly, I have never even looked into anything else aside from what I have. And the smokeless range is by Laser Ammo. And they have, it's not cheap. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm a couple grand into it between the software and the camera and my laser recoil guns and everything like that. But it is definitely a wise investment, 100%, a very wise investment. If you have students who are looking to get into a little bit more training stuff where you want to go a little bit cheaper, I'm going to hold this up for you because you probably know what it is. But this is also one of the laser ammo targets. Mm-hmm. And it's a little reactive target that you actually fire it with the laser ammo gun and the target interacts with you. So it lights up mm-hmm. green. So what's great about those, if you want to go to a little bit of a cheaper system, these are great because if I'm setting up home defense for a client and I'm in their house, I have a bunch of these that I set up with a controller and I set them up in random spots throughout rooms in their house. And I actually set up the game called Follow the Ball. So when they walk in, they have no idea which one of these is going to be a threat. And when that threat pops up, they have to engage it. So it's another real time thing that you can deal with. So if you want to just go with like the little targets, mm-hmm. the laser ammo, there's that. But if you want to spend a little bit more money, you get into the smokeless range as the base program. And then the Scenario Trainer 2.0 is the add-on program that you throw into the program.
Yeah. And, that's a good stepping stone, that you talked about, because in a lot of cases, you know, as I recommend, new trainers do, don't go out and mortgage the farm on right. doing firearm training. For it because the quickest way to make $1 million in firearm training is start out with $2 million. It just doesn't come that easily. So start off something small, and then when you make the money, invest it back into the company. It'll force you to make wiser decisions about which ones are you making money on and which one and which ideas are things that aren't going to make you money. Those are big decisions for a small training company.
Yeah, that's 100% true. When I first started this, when I first started Perfect Practice, it was 2 years ago now, and I had a full-time job at that point, making okay money. So the money that I got from instructing as I started building my company, I just turned around and rolled it right back into the company. You know, I didn't start out with the Scenario Trainer with this $2,000 software. I started out with the Strike Man. If you're familiar with what the Strike Man is, it's kind of like the Mantis X, but it's cheaper. It's $100. It sets up a target and it sets your phone up to where your phone watches the target. And they give you a little striker laser that you put into your weapon. And every time you press the trigger, the firing pin shoots this laser at it and it keeps track of it. And it was a great little tool in the beginning. It was to help my students actually get good sight picture and see what their actual feedback was, because it gave you metrics and all that stuff. And that's a fantastic little start. If you're a newer instructor who is just trying to build and you want to get things to where you can get your students actually practicing sight picture and dealing with that without actually wasting ammo, right, before you go to the range.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic little tool. Don't start out just, you know, blowing thousands of dollars. You know, just like you said, build it a little at a time, baby steps, you know, as long as it's forward progress, even if it's only an inch, it's progress. So you don't have to go leaps and bounds.
Yeah. And the one thing I always recommend is instructors think about from a student perspective. We've been accustomed to, you know, spending $50 on ammo. You know, when we go to the range type of thing, sometimes our students aren't used to forking out $100 for a class and then another 50 or $100 for ammo. And that's on top of them buying their first gun and doing different things like that. I think in a lot of situations as instructors, we we'll lend people our guns to practice with, you know, to take the course. And along those same lines, we should go along and look at, you know, these laser trainers really allow us to do it even outside the range, which makes it lower cost. And you remember how ammo was just, you know, 4 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic and such. I mean, a box of 59 millimeter or $50. I mean, if only I could have bought all the nine millimeter for $9 a box, you know, a year before that, I could have made a mint off of all that. But it's one of those situations, and you know, I'm no fortune teller, but I can guarantee you that ammo prices are going to go up somewhere sometime in the future. It might be a dollar box. It might be two or three times the price of the box, all depending upon what the crisis is of the moment.
Of course. And it's an election year too. So everybody panics about that, you know, so ammo is never cheap during an election year.
It
never is.
And you know, same thing with, you know, guns. One of the things I laugh about, I teach reloading. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, I've done a few on reloading. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's always interesting is people go along and say, you know, I want to get into reloading so I can make, you know, cheap ammo. Tell me what I need to do. And it's like, you should have started last year.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to get into buying a press and buying the powder and buying the primers, you're going to be paying a premium right now when, you know, primers and powder goes up and down, just like ammunition prices go up and down. And that's where, you know, buy it cheap or buy it in large quantities so you can store it for a while. And then as ammo gets more expensive, you can go along and say, well, you know, I made this great investment, you know, seven, eight years ago. I've got powder that's almost 10 years old now, and I'm still using it, still works perfectly fine. But that was a wise investment because ammo's gone up pretty good amount since then. And I'm not having to pay those regular prices where I can build my own and build it the way I want to.
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine who, he's another firearms business here in the community that I live in. He's actually really good. I got to give him a quick shout out. That's Coat of Arms Gun Coatings. He just made me a very beautiful, holster for my weapon because I have a Surefire light on it. So he made me a nice drop leg holster with a clip on it that I can just throw onto any other rig. But anyway, he loads. He's big into loading. And we were just talking about this probably a week or so ago. And he said, primers are insane right now. He's got primers where if he sold his primers, he would make a mint because, just like you said before, he bought them when it was cheap as hell. And now primers cost four or five times what they did when he last bought them. But he has thousands of them, you know. He's like, I'm not getting rid of them. I'm sitting on them, you know.
Yeah, I've got a little problem with my primers. I went along and counted them one time, and I never realized how many I've got because I just buy it when I can. Yeah. I've got way too many.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about like Clint, for sure.
Yeah, that's the way things are. Do you have any suggestions on the laser guns, the dummy guns that you use? Because one of the things where, you know, most people are familiar, you know, I've had Mike Hughes on with Next Level Training with their CERT guns before, right. But any other recommendations? Because again, one of the things I always look for, the CERT guns are great training tools for, but they're a little pricey for something that you don't actually take the range. And if I can reuse my regular carry gun, it allows me to use a familiar feel to it and hopefully do the same thing. What's your recommendation?
Absolutely. So again, this really depends on budget. CERT pistols are great for an instructor. I don't suggest a student going out and buying a CERT pistol because it's going to be a waste of time, because realistically, you can actually just put a bore sight in your own pistol and do wall drills and do the exact same thing that you're going to get out of a CERT pistol that's going to cost you $250 if you buy a cheap CERT pistol. You can buy the laser ammo, like the recoil guns. They're great. They get pricey too. I have the Beretta 9 mils. Those were about $350 a piece. They can get expensive. You know, all the way up to almost like what buying a regular gun is. Most of them are averaging around $450 now, the different laser ammo recoils. They run off green gas. You can get them with an IR laser or with a red laser, a visible laser. So it's, again, a great practice tool. If you want to go even more crazy, I can tell you that I spent about $700 on a system called Coolfire. I don't know if you've heard of those.
Yep, those are really cool.
The Ghoulfire is pretty badass, I'm not going to lie. The Ghoulfire, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, it basically replaces your barrel and your spring in your pistol with a tank that holds CO2, and you fill it yourself. So it's a very cool thing to throw in because you're now using your actual EDC to practice with. You don't have to rack the slide every time you take your shot like you would like lower stuff, like if you're doing a strike man type of a practice. And even on my VP9, the kick is still about like a 380. So it still has a decent amount of feedback when you actually fire. So that's really neat. I have a blast using my Ghoulfire. Like I said, again, it's expensive. On the flip side, the amount of money that you save on range time, you know, you can do all kinds of different practice drills in your home with a Ghoulfire system that a range would kick you off the property for. So that's another aspect too. One of the things that I talk about all the time with my students is, you know, you don't get that Lethal Weapon Danny Glover shot where you get to stretch your neck and move your head around. You have to actually train dynamically. You can't just train at the range and expect that to be your performance. You know, I tell my students all the time, the range is not where you do your training. The range is your report card for the training that you do at home. And that's a huge, huge way to look at it. So the Ghoulfire system enables me to do all of that stuff. It enables me to do drawing exercises, clearing room exercises, hitting multiple targets across a 10-foot arc. I can't do that at a range without shooting somebody else's targets and getting kicked off the property. So again, it's a matter of how proficient do you want to be with your weapon? I mean, every situation is going to be a dynamic situation, and the range standing perfectly still is not what your situation is going to be like in real life.
Definitely. And that's, I second everything you just said, because it's really tough to get into a shoot house to where you can shoot 360 degrees safely. Mm-hmm. But with a lot of the training guns that are out there, it really enables you to not create that training scar, because how many times have instructors gone along and seen students who are really good at shooting paper targets, but then all of a sudden they go along and they start doing more dynamic drills and they're flat footed. They, you know, stop and shoot. They can't run and shoot at the same time. And that's a training scar, because they've learned that they can only shoot while they're standing still versus going along and knowing how to take that less than perfect shot while they're on the move and potentially, you know, putting down a threat faster than waiting until they get behind cover.
Yep. 100%. I have all kinds of stuff where I actually do drills like that, in live fire situations as well. I'm fortunate enough to have a friend who's got a lot of property that I have a range set up on. So when we're doing the basic skills, you know, the basic classes and stuff like that, I take my students to this indoor range, because we're just doing basic safety stuff, you know, general quick stuff. But then once my students get a little bit more advanced, I bring them to the outdoor range, and that's where we can do stalk shooting, walking, you know, shooting on the move, doing tactical maneuvers. I even have AR team tactical stuff where we're actually rushing targets from over 150 yards out, and we're doing bounding overwatches and, you know, all kinds of realistic stuff. I do the snafu situations where, okay, you're firing your weapon, you're actually advancing on this target. I call a timeout, I walk over, and I tape your strong hand up, and you have to finish the exercise with your support hand. Figure it out. That's the real training, because that's what really happens. You know, one of the things my students will tell you, I say all the time, is no battle plan survives first contact, ever.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Reality has a quick way of changing your plans, for sure. 100%. 100%. Well, Daryl, what's your most favorite scenario to run on the simulator?
This one is called Broken Glass, and it's, you're in your home and it's dark and you hear broken glass, and then all of a sudden your lights slightly illuminate and you can see down your hallway, and there's a couple of doors on the side, and then there's the end of the hallway where your stairs are, where somebody comes up. And in that scenario in particular, you hear the broken glass, the light comes on, and you can see that you as the shooter are using a flashlight because the light's jumping all over the place. And then a door in the hallway opens up right in front of you, and somebody comes running out at you, and it's one of your kids. And I can't tell you how many people shoot that first kid, you know, and then the second kid runs out of the next door, And then when everybody's freaking out that, oh, you know, I didn't shoot that kid, thank God. Then the guy walks up the stairs, points a gun at you and says, night, night, and you're dead because you never even got that shot off. So that's a fun one. Another one that I really like is I utilize the Tuller drill quite a bit. You're familiar with the Tuller drill?
Yep.
For anybody who is not familiar with the Tuller drill, that's the 21-foot rule drill. Officer Tuller is from somewhere out in the Midwest, if I remember correctly.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, he's the one who came to the realization through studies that a well-practiced individual can draw his weapon from his holster and get two shots off on target in a second and a half. And it only takes a second and a half for a person to cover 21 feet. So the Tuller drill is what became, that's what that became known as. Whereas somebody runs at you from 21 feet, can you get your gun out and actually get a shot on target before they get to you with a knife? And one of the scenarios is this guy standing 21 feet away from the camera and there's no warning. He's just standing there looking at you. And then all of a sudden he runs at you and you have to get your shots off. And it's a pretty good drill. It's definitely a fun one.
Well, that's good. Well, that definitely sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm going to have to see if I can work a simulator into my budget at some point.
Highly recommend it.
I like the force on force. I like doing the cheaper drills, those types of things, because we spend enough money on the range. And if we can lower that cost for us and our students, that's really great. So appreciate all that information, Daryl.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, the question we've been asking everybody for season 7, what do you do for your mental health each day?
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to tear down a little bit of a wall here and I got to turn these lights back on. They just shut off on me automatically. Sorry about that. I'm going to tear down a little bit of a wall here and rat myself out. I am actually in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic and I'm not shy about talking about that.
Congrats.
Thank you. Mental health is a big, big thing for me. So every day, one of my biggest things is gratitude. I'm very big on what am I grateful for today? We talked a little bit offline before we started recording. I told you I had an aneurysm a couple of years ago. And, I walked around for 3 days with my brain bleeding before I went to the hospital and got that taken care of. And I ended up getting brain surgery and all that stuff. And, that's another reason that every day is just a bonus day for me, you know? So it's a matter of what am I grateful for today? How can I improve myself today? And that's what I do for my mental health every single day. How can I improve myself and what am I grateful for?
That's great, Daryl. We're doing this to get people thinking, doing something daily for our mental health, is important, for it. We started off with, episode 1 of season 7 with Mike Sodini and with Walk Talk America. And we're going to continue on in season 7 asking this question because I think it's extremely important for people to think about, do they take a break and watch a sunset and just, appreciate everything they've got? Do they go out for a run to clear their mind? Do different things along those lines, because as I say when we're talking with Mike Sodini in episode 1, it is a crying shame that we lose 22 veterans a day and even more civilians than that to suicides. And it's not because people didn't like them or anything else like that, is that they didn't see, all the goodness that's in the world. And you go along and talk to anybody who's lost a family member to suicide, and they will tell you that they would have been willing to do anything they could to tell that person how much they were loved if that person would just told them they were contemplating suicide. So
yeah, 100%.
Not to be on a downer there, but that's you've got a very good point there, Daryl, and thank you for getting us thinking about that. Well, Daryl, where can people find out more about you and the training that you're doing?
All right. Well, as we said before, it's Perfect Practice Tactical Firearms Training. I'm located in Milford, PA. If you want to find out some stuff on my classes and my rates, it's perfectpracticetactical.com. Or you can just look me up on Facebook and it's Perfect Practice Tactical Firearms Training. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm on Google Maps. And I'm very big on having my students give me reviews when they're done. So you can actually get a little bit of feedback from my students, who have been through some of my classes.
Perfect. And I will have these in the show notes. As always, for those people that are driving or don't have a piece of paper handy mm-hmm. right now, and you can look up Daryl and see if you're in the Pennsylvania, Milford area to maybe train with them or drop a note and say hi at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm where I'm at in Pennsylvania is Northeast PA, where New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania come together. So if you're a Northwestern or New Jersey resident, I actually do the New Jersey concealed carry certifications and courses as well. And, you know, as far as reach goes, I've got a couple of guys from Long Island who come all the way out here to do their training with me because, and I actually asked them, I said, why are you driving 3 hours to train with me? And they said, nobody offers what you offer. So that tells me that I'm doing something right.
Definitely. I agree with that. Well, Daryl, with that, thank you for your time tonight and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. I appreciate you, man. I like what you do. I've listened to a couple of your shows already, and I'm definitely going to be checking out more for sure.
Super. Thank you. That's a wrap for this episode. I hope you found the information informative, and don't forget to share it with a friend. It doesn't do us any good if we just hog the information all ourselves, so think about sharing it with a friend. If you're searching for other information to help your business, don't forget to check out our website and search for all the episodes there. Just go to www.firearmtrainerpodcast.com and search in the upper right-hand corner on whatever topic you'd like. If you have suggestions, comments, ideas for somebody beyond podcast, feel free to email me at ftp@concealedcarry.com. Don't forget to register for the Guardian Conference coming up in September. And visit our sponsors, especially the Firearm Trainers Association at ftaprotect.com and check out their instructor insurance. Establishing your business was your first step. Your next step should be getting FTA coverage. And remember, promo code FTP10 for 10% off at checkout. We bring this podcast support in the industry, the Second Amendment, and most importantly, every firearm instructor in America that dedicates time and energy into making gun owners more knowledgeable. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Concealed Carry Inc. and ConcealedCarry.com strives to share helpful information and education about gun-related topics, training tips, and other things that may potentially have legal implications for its listeners. The information contained in this podcast is intended in good faith, but it is important to understand that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand laws that apply to them. Nothing in this podcast should be misconstrued as legal advice or counsel.